Good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Coast organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCAR server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8, Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they have checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for this digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control for this session is actually Mike, WA1NXI, probably in the cold area of Maine. My name is Kathy. I am his backup. My call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I'm located in Vero Beach, Florida, about 10 minutes from the Atlantic coast, where it's currently a temperature of 50 degrees, and tonight a low of 33. So we ask that all of you further north, please close those back doors. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, please come aboard. Hearing no emergency traffic, and that's always a great thing. I'm going to ask this question that I always ask. Do we have any birthday stations out there, either last week or this upcoming week, that would like to come aboard so we could say happy birthday? So are there any of those birthday stations? If so, come aboard.
With a slight delay, 6 Victor.
And 6 Victor, you saw that I had that long pause. I knew you were connected. I wanted to see if you'd come aboard or not. And I know your birthday's coming up very soon, so I want to say a happy, happy birthday. But thanks for being here this evening, and happy birthday from South Cars. Come aboard, Gordon.
Well, thanks, Kathy. Gordon here, KY6V. I'm sorry for the little bit of delay. I was chatting with Gary in the admin text box. RMO up there in freezing Syracuse. My birthday is coming up on Tuesday. That's the 21st, and that's the furthest I'm going to take it. No comments one way or the t'other. But thank you for recognizing me. And I would like to append my request along with you to our friends and colleagues up in the north. Keep those blooming doors cold and shut, because it's getting 33 degrees in Florida, and we don't know what to do about that. Go ahead, Kathy.
Well, once again, happy, happy birthday, and I won't take it any further. But we appreciate you coming aboard and having us share that birthday with you. And I hope that day will just be splendid for you. And, you know, the only good thing I can think about our weather is it's only temporary. I think tomorrow's cool, but the next day it goes up and then it goes back down again. But eventually we will have those warm temperatures with those up north. Still have those cold temperatures sometimes until July. But yes, I will tell everyone, keep those doors closed. But this is the Global Family Hour this evening. The intent of this net is to encourage members, their family, and their friends worldwide to enter into an informal social net highlighting third-party traffic through the member station. Our program for this Saturday evening is a fun one, about those crazy and those fun things you've done throughout your life. We all have them. And our net control this evening has some wonderful stories for us, and I hope that he'll share those with us. But we all have them, and we hope that you'll come aboard and share them as well. The only thing I ask of each and every one of you, we have a fantastic new-looking website, is to please check that out when time permits. It's www.voip.southcars.com. And Steve, who is, I know, there in the background listening, KFIVH, and Gordon have done a wonderful job in that site. So please look at it. And it's very warm, friendly, and it's just interesting to look at all times. But I do want to let everyone know that I always record these sessions. So if you've been part of the program this evening, you most definitely will be part of that recording, because we hope to get it posted on our own website if it's a fun and interesting net. So with that, Mr. Michael up there in Farmington, Maine, WA1NXI, I hope that you're ready to take over and have a fun net this evening. And I am there in your background. WA1NXI from Kilo 6 Sierra United, November. The net is all yours.
Well, thank you very much, Kathy. And I want to say happy birthday to Gordon. This is WA1NXI. Before I forget the ID there, yeah, I'd like to wish Gordon a happy birthday and just let him know that birthdays are good for you. It's a proven fact that people that have more birthdays live longer. So there you go, Gordon. Happy birthday to you. And I'll go ahead and open up the net and see who we got aboard tonight and listen for some good and funny stories of things that you've done and crazy and funny things. So we'll go ahead and open it up for check-ins. This is WA1NXI, Mike in the great state of Maine, looking for check-ins.
6, Victor.
Net recognizes 6, Victor, and RMO, Gary, your audio was really, really low, just so you know, but you'll have a minute or two to get that adjusted while we pick up Gordon. KY6B, welcome aboard.
Hey, good evening to you, Mike, and everybody assembled. I acknowledge Gary being on low audio. Turn on the generator and you'll be fine, Mr. Syracuse. Thanks for the birthday wishes, Mike. And if I didn't announce this is KY6V down here in frigid Florida, Central Florida, that'd be. I think somebody moved the state of Maine closer to the state of Florida for some reason or other. And I imagine you've been getting some backlash out of your father there in Titusville as well, Mike. I have sat back and looked at the subject tonight of the funniest and craziest type things. And I said, what a mixture of English language. Now, I know that you've got a lot of stories to tell, and I suppose I do too. But, you know, some of my craziest were not the funniest at the time that they were the craziest. They always turned out funny years later when you thought about them, but when you got caught, it wasn't funny. Back to you, and thanks for running the show, sir. KY6V, over.
Well, thank you for being here tonight, Gordon, and looking forward to some of the stories. I know you probably got some good ones, and I probably heard one or two of them all over the year here, or years. But anyway, thanks for being there, and I'll break with you for now. And we'll go see what Gary's up to and see if he's got his volume adjusted. KC2RMO, welcome to the Global Family Hour.
Well, thank you, Mike. I'm almost afraid to press the button. How's that sound?
Oh, much, much better.
I think we have a kitty cat to blame here. I think somebody was walking across my audio board. So we'll just assign the blame to the feline community. It's good to be with you tonight. We have a balmy 22 degrees here in the beautiful outer Comstock section of Syracuse. We've got winds from the west-northwest at 3 miles an hour, according to the KC2 RMO weather station, which is available for viewing on the Weather Underground website worldwide, which is my little latest toy. So, but what a good topic. What a good topic. And I like Gordon. I think some of the funniest stuff has not been funny at the time, but is definitely turned out to be funny in the long run. So I'm sure we'll be seeing that as the evening progresses. But I do want to say happy birthday to Gordon and many more too. So but of course those well wishes will be coming through the evening too and through the days to come. So I'm sure we're going to be hearing that a lot. But with that, we will go back to the net. This is KC2RMO. Back to you, Mike.
All right. Gary, thank you for being here tonight and looking forward to some of the funny stories that you have. And yeah, I've had a few of those situations where it wasn't funny at the time, but when you look back at it, you get a good laugh out of it. Well, I was going to say something. Oh, you mentioned 22 degrees. You're colder than we are here in the state of Maine. It's currently only 32 degrees, so it's not really all that bad. Got the wood stove burning down in the cellar, so it's about 80 inside and 32 outside, and expecting a little bit of snow tonight, but not nothing to write home about. Probably 1 to 3 inches is what they were saying earlier. And it was supposed to start this afternoon and haven't seen nothing yet, so maybe our luck will hold out and we won't get any, Gary. And I guess I'll tell one story of something I did that a while ago when me and a friend of mine had an apartment when I lived in New Hampshire. It wasn't, well, we thought it was funny. We thought it was a pretty funny joke, and the guy underneath us didn't really see the humor in it. We lived above a guy that couldn't see. He was completely blind, and he went out one night, and we went down into his apartment and rearranged all his furniture, and we moved everything. Changed his chairs around and his bookshelves and rearranged his whole apartment. And then we listened when he came in, and there was a lot of noise going on down there, bumping and trashing and stuff. And we got a pretty good laugh out of it, but he didn't see the humor in it. But anyway, I'll go ahead and we'll break with you, Gary, and we'll see who else we can get aboard. And hopefully we'll hear some funny stories tonight and some amusing things that people have done over the years and some crazy things. I've done some stuff that was pretty crazy, not funny, but crazy anyway. But anyway, thanks for being here, Gary, and I hope we have a great night tonight and you come back aboard. This is WA1NXI in the South Cars Global Family Hour. We're looking for some more check-ins.
Sierra United November.
And Victor X-Ray Papa.
And RMO, just to see if my audio is okay.
All right. Net recognizes S-U-N, V-X-B, and RMO with really, really good audio sounding good, Gary. And we'll go ahead and pick up Miss Sunshine, K6SUN. Welcome aboard.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. And Gary, I want to tell you your audio is okay, but you have a funny story to tell. You have some very funny stories, so I'm sure you can come aboard as you call them. But, you know, Mike, I'm thinking shortly, it will be 3 years since I accepted the position of the net manager. And at the time, I thought, God, this is the craziest thing for me to do, full-time school teacher, busy all the time, you know, could I possibly do this? You know, it took so much time, and Gordon, you know, he spent years being the net manager. I had big shoes to fill, so I thought, God, this is the funniest and the craziest thing I've ever done in my life. But and shortly it will be 3 years. I've enjoyed the ride, and hopefully everyone has enjoyed me being a net manager, and I've done a well job for them. So I thought I'd start out with that, saying that was the earliest, the past funniest and craziest thing I probably did in my life. So with that, I'll turn it back to you, Mike, and thanks for doing the net this evening.
Very good, Kathy, and thank you for being here. And well, just so you know, I don't think that was so crazy. You do a good job. I know it must be hard to find the time, being a full-time teacher and correcting all those papers and making tests, and then you do an awesome job making the schedules and script. There you go. You do a great job on the scripts and stuff, so it all worked out good, and I'm glad that you took that position 3 years ago. And we'll break with you for now, Kathy, and pick up VXP and see what Rick's up to and see what he's got for the net. WA1NXI over to VXP. Welcome aboard.
This is N1VXP in chilly coffee. 24 degrees, but wind chill factor of 17. And we're getting a little bit of snow, 1 to 2 inches of snow. We've already had a couple of inches before, so we'll get our white covering again. And just to let everybody know, from what I'm hearing, polar vortex. Not one, not two, but this will be like 2 and 3. Watch out, it's going to get cold during the week, and I know exactly where I'm staying. Kind of the funniest thing that happened to me was, this goes back a number of years ago when I was up in Connecticut. My cousin, who I think was about maybe 12 or 13, I'm not sure how old he was, but he always liked doing outdoor activities and started getting into the idea of climbing trees. So one night around Halloween, the local people like to decorate the outside of their houses with Halloween decorations. And one of the neighbors had a little scarecrow that was part of their decorations. And my cousin took the scarecrow, put a shirt on that looked like it was the type of the shirt that the kids would wear in the school. Let me drop for a second. And he put the shirt on and said, "Now, where am I going to put this?" Since he had learned how to kind of do some climbing of trees, he saw the flagpole in front of the school and said, "I can do it." He shimmied all the way up to the top of that, secured the scarecrow with the shirt on at the top. Nobody knew it. I was there watching him. And part of the other trick was he decided, well, let's use the pulley on the flagpole. And he had small buckets of paint in which he painted the whole flagpole from the top down, and got away, put everything back as far as the flag up, and nobody knew anything about it until the next morning. Oh, the teachers were all like, they were laughing, but the principal had all the kids go into the auditorium and said, "You're not leaving until somebody tells me who did it." He waited about an hour, nobody said anything. Of course, my cousin, for some reason, he knew something was up, and he decided he was going to stay home sick. So he couldn't stay in the auditorium. So after an hour, the principal said, "Well, I got to find out who did it, because they got to go back up and take that on. And I don't know how they're going to get the paint off the flagpole." But it was water-based paint. It was tempera paint, so a good washing would take it right off. But, you know, let me drop one more second. It was strange that my cousin put it up there, but even to this day, nobody knew that he did it. And it was the next night, the scarecrow was gone. Nobody knows who went up and took it down, but it was so funny that everybody in town knew, you know, somebody in the school did it. Everybody had an idea who did it, but they didn't say anything. It was kind of funny, but it was humorous when the whole idea was that my cousin put it up there, but to this date, nobody knows who took it down. And the painting on the flagpole did wash off in a matter of a couple of good rainstorms, so we felt no harm was done. But it was such a funny thing to happen in town, and got quite a bit of humor out throughout the town. Like, somebody knows how to climb a flagpole. And it was just so funny. But living in the family, and my uncle being a teacher in another school, he had a feeling we knew what was going on, but he could not get us to admit it. And I always thought it was so funny, but it was kind of dangerous. You know, my cousin being up on that flagpole and no safety harness. But he managed to find a way to actually climb up and felt pretty safe about it. But it was, I think if I would have had a camera, it would have been really fun to watch, to see the video. But, and again, it was, we did it at night. Nobody in the neighborhood even knew it or even heard anything. We were so quiet, but it was a crazy thing. I don't think I'd do it again today. Other than that, I got one more story a little bit later, and 1TXD back to net control.
Well, there you go, Rick. That's a pretty good story. It brings back a couple memories of things that I've done when I was a kid at night. Never climbed a flagpole or anything, but I caused some excitement in my neighborhood, that's for sure. But I'll go ahead and break with you, and we'll see what our MO is up to, and welcome back aboard, Gary.
Hey, thank you, sir. And I just I made one little tweak on the audio, so again, before I get started, anybody who would like to comment, how's it sounding right now?
Oh, it sounds full quieting to me here, Gary. You're hitting the yellow just a little bit, so I'd say it's perfect.
Sounds el perfecto, then. We'll go along with that. Well, thanks for having me again, Mike. You talk about crazy things, and just about every crazy thing that ever happened to me was while I was doing radio. It just seemed like that was a natural spot for that to happen. And I was telling, by the way, I'd like to tell everybody listening tonight that I have a fine, high-quality wife unit who brought me an absolutely delicious, and I do mean delicious, spinach and feta cheese pizza when I'm munching in between breaks here, which is great. So I'm having a really good night tonight.
Frozen pizza that I put in the oven.
Yes, but you did it well, and I appreciate having it here in front of me in front of the KC2 RMO microphone, so I appreciate that. Well, it was an effort, you know. But anyway, but whatever happened to me in radio, I think there was just so many crazy things. I was telling Stephanie about this the other night, and it occurred when one of the stations, it was the station that I was program director of, was being sold. Let me buy a nickel because this gets a little bit windy. The station was being sold at the time, and the station manager and the current owner at the time took a prospective client out to dinner. And as is good business practice, they got them totally loaded at dinner. It's like they all came rolling in totally soused. And I was on the air at the time, and I'm reading a commercial. And the guy who was the owner of the station was again, he was just trashed, comes barging through the studio doors, And he's screaming at the top of my voice, "You're not," at the top of his voice, "You're not having enough fun." And I'm like, I'm on the air, you know. And he's like, "I'll show you how to have fun," right? So he walks over to me, and I had a beard at the time, and he grabbed both sides of my cheeks by the beard, and he starts, you know, in and out, in and out, in and out. They go, "That's fun, you know. I'll show you some more fun." And meanwhile, I didn't have anything up to go to. I didn't have a song cued. I didn't have another card in the machine. I was just reading this live commercial. And he goes over to the cart rack, and if you don't know what a cart is, an audio cart looks like an 8-track cartridge. It's basically the same size and same principle. And you put commercials on those, and sometimes you put music on them. He starts throwing these carts at me while I'm reading. And he's going, "This is fun. You having fun now?" You know, and I'm like, "Oh my God," you know. Meanwhile, the guy who's the station manager hears this, he's going on, and he gets into the studio. I grab one of the carts that Roger threw at me and stuck it in the cart machine. It was and just hit it. Mike grabs Roger from behind and underneath the arms and drags him out of the studio. I got a song up, you know, and like it was a 60-second commercial, fortunately. So I got a song up, and I waited for the end of the commercial, hit it, and Mike's like apologizing. Mike, the station manager, is apologizing to me for like the rest of his life for that happening. And ultimately, Roger, the owner, did too. They never sold the station to that guy anyway that night. But it looks like they had a good time, and I ended up with kind of an interesting story. With that, we'll go back to the net. This is KC2 RMO. Back to you.
Well, Jerry, that's a good story. You were a little bit of picket fencing there for a minute or two. I'm not sure what that was all about. I don't know if anybody else heard that, or if it was just my machine. But I did make out most of your story there, and that's a good one. And thank you for sharing that. And hope you come back aboard with some more, and I'll go ahead and break with you, and we'll see who else we can get on the log here, and then we'll go back around and hear some stories, I guess. But we'll see who else we can pick up. This is WA1NXI in the South Cars Family Global Hour. I almost said Sunday Rag to you, and don't know why, but I know it's not morning. But anyway, this is the Global Family Hour, and we're looking for some check-ins.
6, Victor, with a recheck.
Hailing my Charlie Bravo.
Net recognizes Gordon, KY6B, with the recheck, and LCB, and good evening, George, and I'm glad you made it. And we'll go ahead and we'll pick up Gordon, KY6B. Welcome back.
Thanks, Mike, and hi, George. I'm still smiling about Gary's last presentation here, Gordon, KY6B. You know, even though I've heard that story before, Gary, I still laughed again and smiled. A little story that goes along with that, Mike, is that I had a general manager at the television station. He was a pretty neat guy. His office was down on the second floor of this studio building. And sort of a unique setup. He had this fancy rail-type fencing around the front of the office. And in that fancy arrangement was his secretary, and then, of course, inside was his office. Very plush, I might add. I was chief engineer for the station at this point, and I received a telephone call one morning from the general manager. And he says, "Gordon," he says, "I got a problem down here that I'd like you to attend to." And I said, "Well, what is that, sir?" He says, "Somehow, some of the carts that were running around here on the second floor got involved in my railing around the secretary's area, and it's broken. And I said, well, we'll take care of that, sir. I'll get somebody down in the maintenance department. We'll probably have to do some welding to get everything back up ship shape, but we'll get it fixed for you. He says, welding? Why do you know that? We were running commercials at that time for crazy glue. And he says, Gordon, for crying out loud, he says, if you can pick up a car with a cable that's crazy glued to the car, why can't you crazy glue the rail? End of story. Go ahead, Mike. KY6V, over.
that's pretty good, Gordon. Thanks for coming back, boy. Appreciate it and enjoyed that. Also enjoyed old Gary's story there. It's, you and Gary must have had similar jobs. In my job, when I pushed the cat around, it was full of scaffolding and pretty heavy, and we pushed them to the elevator and off the elevator and unloaded the scaffolding, or the opposite, taking it out of the building. But can't really picture what a cat would look like in that kind of a business. But I'm sure you and Gary have a real good idea. But anyway, thanks for being there, and hope you come back aboard and share some more of the stories of some of the things that you've done over the years. I'll go ahead and break with you for now, and we'll see what George is up to. Haven't heard George for a couple of weeks, so it's good to hear his voice in here. KW4LCB, welcome aboard.
Well, thank you, Mike. In KW4, Lima Charlie Bravo. Oh, great day. Wild, and I think you're making crazy stuff, you know, about everything. I guess most folks look at it as crazy there. But some of you know I was kind of raised up close to the water there and worked on charter boats. And then you had what they call different boats. If you take a party of four people, that's basically a charter boat. And then you had your head boats would take up to around 60, 70 people at a time. And I happened to be working on one of these boats at that time there. And back in the day, people called garbage cans or trash cans, or I think back then we called them GI cans. And they's made up of some with steel, and when that galvanized metal come out, let me take a pause and cause that. What we used to use them for was going down to the ice plant and get blocks of ice crushed up, and you know, they fill the cans, which we utilized throughout the day on the boat to ice the fish down that was caught. And in the afternoon, we'd use those cans also to throw the fish in there and take them up to the dock and hang them up for pictures. But one day, we caught a shark. I happened to be a small nurse shark, and well, we figured it'd be fun to try to keep that rascal alive, you know. So we got him stuck his head down in one of these 55-gallon GI cans. We had that filled with water, you know, and we keep dumping water in there all the way back home. So we had a rope around his head. Sharks the way the back of their jawbone is, you know, you could, once you get the rope over its head, just behind that jawbone, you can pretty well get you a good lock on it and cinch it up pretty good. We had that rope on him there. So once we got the boat docked, and yeah, I'm not watching this time, but let me do it one more time. Once we got the boat docked there, you know, got the fish up there and got them hung up on the wreck so everybody can get up there and take pictures and tell lies, you know, they caught the biggest one, you know how it, well, people do that, take pictures home and say, oh, I caught that big one, but nevertheless, we had that shark in the can, so we got to the point where everything was squared away for the time being, and we was going to play. Our thought was, you know, just bringing the shark into the bite area, we docked the boat and just turned it loose in there. It being a nurse shark, and it had an oval-type mouth, you know, and their teeth are flat and suctiony like old cow's tongue. So I decided, well, I'm gonna ride that sucker. I tell you what, there, I done made up my mind I was gonna ride him. So drug the can over to the side and started dumping some of the water out, and we threw him over, and over the side I went hanging on the rope there, and I finally, you know, he was pretty docile after being in the can, you know, an hour or so there, but I'm sure glad, because that gave me time enough to pull him to me and me get up on top of him, you know. And that sucker started working them old jaw bones up and forth, and I see them old gills going in and out, and gracious, oh, he coming alive. He ready to give me a ride, you know, which I was going to try that. And all of a sudden, that sucker turned, and he caught me on the side of my leg up there by the groin. And, well, I really thought it out, you know. I said, well, what can he do, you know, getting all scratched up? Well, you know, I played that scratch game before that, so that was no strange to the ring. But when he locked down and pinched me, I tell you what, I think that's when you might would say one of them yahoos, too. And I don't think I want to try that one no more. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Well, I don't blame you for not wanting to try that again, George. That was pretty crazy. Never heard of anybody trying to ride on a shark before, so that's a first for me. I've seen them riding on dolphins and stuff like that, but never on a shark. I don't think I can beat that for crazy stuff, George. That's pretty crazy. And thanks for being here, and hope you come back aboard, and it's good to hear your voice. Haven't heard you for a week or so. Anyway, I'll go ahead and break with you, and we'll see who else we can get to come aboard. This is the Tough Guys Family Global Hour. And just a reminder, third-party traffic is welcome and encouraged. If anybody's got some family members that might have done some funny things or some crazy things like George riding a shark, they're welcome to come aboard also. And I'll go ahead and open it up for check-ins. WA1NXI, looking for check-ins.
Why is it R?
RMO?
Net recognizes YZR and RMO. I don't recall ever talking to you, Bernie. I might have, and it slipped my mind, but glad to meet you and welcome aboard. WA1NXI to KC9YZR.
Okay, Mike, WA1NXI, KC9YZR. I just recently got my system going, and I think this is the first time I checked into this net. I'm not certain on that, but anyway, I was just thinking back throughout the years, and I've never really done anything funny or crazy, at least not in a humorous way. I almost did something crazy in a negative way, where if it would have gone through, I probably wouldn't be here today. But that was a different type of crazy. It wasn't humorous type of crazy. It was a negative type of crazy. But I was the type of guy that tried to talk people out of doing crazy things. I was on the other end of things. I was the type of guy that would try to talk the guy into not doing what he was planning on doing. the person that would try to stop people from doing crazy things. Except I did one thing in high school. I don't know if you'd consider it crazy or not. I regret it later. I felt very sad or bad about it. I was going, the bell rang to go between school classes, and I started walking down one hall, one short hall, and as I turned down the long hall, but before I got to it, I heard somebody running down the hall, and you're not supposed to be running in school, and in high school, and I did not look to see if it was a male or a female student, and I just stuck my foot out into the long aisle there, and I tripped the lady. She fell down. She didn't hurt herself. She got up, and I felt bad about it. I didn't know it was a lady that was running down the hall, because I didn't look down there to see who was coming, and I didn't know she was running right alongside of the wall either, and I tripped her, and I felt bad about it, apologized for it, and I'll drop, and I apologized to her, and I never did anything after that. It just makes me feel bad, and so I never got into doing the funny or crazy things other than tripping that lady that I heard running down the hall, because it just seemed funny at the time, but after it happened, I didn't feel too good about it, so... like I said, I was the type of guy that would talk people out of doing things, or try to anyway. I will say this though, in high school, in auto shop class, the auto shop teacher was driving a real small car, only had a driver and passenger seat, no back seats. It was a convertible, very small car, I don't know what it was, but it was small enough where four, or was it six, I forget, I think it was six people, six of the auto shop classmates, I think two on the side and one on each corner, six of them were able to pick up this car and turn it around in the parking space as a joke, you know, and I don't know if you consider that crazy or not. And when I was at the pizza plant here, whenever somebody was going to leave, retire, or quit their job, or leave the job, somebody from the maintenance department would take this shrink wrapping, this plastic, you know, for shrink wrapping pallets and stuff, and they would walk around the car and they would shrink wrap the person's car, so they'd have to cut the wrap off. I'm going to drop again. But anyway, the only thing that I was going to do that was crazy, but it was in a negative way, like I said, it wasn't in a humorous way, was back after high school. I felt that I flunked out of high school because I couldn't pass history. It was a science, bio teacher. He was substituting as a history teacher. He failed half the class 2 years in a row. It was a required course, so I wasn't going to graduate. I'd already enlisted in the Army, so I figured, well, I'll just quit high school then because I wasn't passing that class and I wouldn't graduate anyway. I'd have to come back in the fall, but I was already enlisted in the Army, and if I didn't show up there, I'd be AWOL. So I had quit high school, gone into the Army, but I felt that I failed high school, you know, and I couldn't get a date. Matter of fact, I'm 55 now, and I still have not been on a date, believe it or not. I gave up on it. I couldn't figure out how to do it. The ladies would call me nasty names. I'll drop again. And so I figured I failed at high school. And in the Army, I went into electronics school in Denver at the Lowry Air Force Base, Army Detachment there. They They had a few different things there that they were teaching. They were teaching photography. They were teaching aircraft maintenance, and I was there for electronics. I don't know what else they had there. But I got 8 months along in a nine-month course. It took me 9 months to get there. I was 4 weeks behind. They tested you every week, and they taught you the first 4 days, and then the fifth day they tested you. So I took 36 tests. I failed only four of them, and I only had four tests to go to pass, and I would have gotten that. So I failed at that, and then they sent me to MT school in Alabama, where it was very humid. Even when I was 65, it was humid. I was miserable. I was there 4 months, and I flunked out of that with the scene, accident scene, when you take a picture or draw a picture. Where you draw a picture of the accident scene, they said I failed at that, but I couldn't see anything wrong with it. Double checked all my measurements. So I figured I failed that way, and I failed at being able to date and make friends with ladies. So, and then on top of it, when I was working with my father, he hauling feed, milk replacer for veal calves, it looks like sort of a yellowish powdered milk, and is what it looks like anyway. 50-pound bags, and he would embarrass me in front of the customers. He would say I was blanking up by the numbers again, using the F word, embarrassing me in front of the customers. So that on top of everything else, I felt so badly about that when I was 20 years old back in 1979 that I felt like taking my own life. So that's what I mean by crazy, but not in a humorous way. And I went all the way out to Colorado, spent a week out there, and I decided, that's nothing to kill myself over. And then I changed my mind and came back. So that's the only thing that I almost did that would really be crazy, but not in a humorous way. 7-3 back to net, WA1NXI, KC9YZR.
Wow, no, that's not funny, Bernie, and I'm glad you did change your mind. And but some of the other stuff was pretty funny. The car, I've done something like that to a little car once when me and some friends went to a Chinese restaurant and had some drinks, and then we came out the back door, and it was like an alley between these two buildings, and there was a car parked right in the alley, and we all got on the car and we turned it sideways in the alley, and it was fitting tight in between those two buildings. Like the bumper was touching one, the front bumper was touching one building, and the back bumper was touching the other building. And then we went on our way. And don't know how they ever got the car out. They must have had a bunch of people come out and do the same thing that we did, but. Yeah, that was pretty funny. That's always a good joke. I'm sure a lot of people have done that over the years. Those little small cars, and play a joke on a friend or even somebody you don't know, like we did. But I'm glad that you didn't go through with that anyway, Bernie. You wouldn't be here to share in tonight's net. And we hope you come back aboard, Gary. But I just want to ask you, Gary, are you a member? Do you have a South Cars number, Gary? I mean, Bernie.
Cars number. I don't know what my South Cars number is. I could look it up. Wait a minute, let me see here. EC2RMO. That's something. I'm the assistant net manager. I don't know what my number is. I don't know. I'm lucky I remember my own name. Yes, in answer to your question, Mike, I do have a number.
Right. I knew you did, Gary, and I keyed up and I said, Bernie, but it was too late. He was already talking. I was going to see if Bernie was a member, and if he wasn't, I was going to see if I could get him to become a member. So I'm gonna break with you for just a second here, Gary, and see if I can get YZR Bernie back and ask him if he's a member of South Cars, and then I'll go from there. So YZR, are you still available?
Yep, I sure am. I keyed up too, and yeah, I was too late there. I was going to ask if you really meant me or not. And yes, I am. I actually have two membership numbers, actually. In this configuration with the dash R, when I'm running a simplex repeater here, it's echo 2195, I believe. Echo 2195. And I'm looking here. I assume the other one is echo 2196. I'm not certain. If I ever check in via the keyboard on my PC, I believe that's the other number. I'm not sure. But I'd have to check. But the way I'm coming in now with the RF, using my repeater, using 2 meters, echo 2195. I'm not certain. I'd have to double check on the when I check in with the keyboard. Once I get a microphone for the PC, I can check in that way too. This is on a netbook, so I got the netbook, and I've got a PC too that I could check in on. And when I'm using my regular call sign, it's either 2196 or 2194. I think it's 2196. I'd have to look for that one. But in this current configuration, when I'm using 2 meters to check in with the dash R, then it's echo 2195. So back to you, WA1NXI, KC9YZR.
All right. Well, very good. Barney, I was just going to see if you was a member or not. And if you weren't, I was going to try to get you to be, but somebody beat me to it down the line. So anyway, thanks for being here, and hope you stick around and check in a little later on if you feel like you have a comment or just want to come back aboard. Let me see if I had. Oh yeah, I had Gary next, so I'll break with you, and we'll go pick up KC2RMO. Gary, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Mike. Echo 2040. That's my number, E2040. And that was a very funny little bit of business back there. You know, I was thinking about some of the stuff that has happened through the years, and a lot of it happened with radio. One thing that happened outside of radio was something that was in conjunction with somebody that I worked with in radio. I had a very good friend who did the all night show at the station, and Tom was his name, and Tom was like very, very easy to play practical jokes on. It was almost too easy, you know. It was like the Bugs Bunny thing, you know. It's like, this is too easy, you know. I think I've told this story before about where I called him up, and I had a microphone patched through a tape recorder so it sounded like I was on a two-way radio, and told him I was the FCC calling, and he had to shut the station down, and he almost did it too. But that's not this one. What this story involves with Tom was, we have to go back to the year 1985. And if you're familiar with computers, you'll certainly remember the name of the Commodore 64, which was an outstanding little computer for its time. Just a lot of fun. I still want to get my hands on one because they were so much fun. I think there was stuff that the 64 could do that you just don't see in today's machines, you know. But one of the things that I had downloaded on my mighty 300 baud modem was a program that made things look like you were breaking into a SAC base and a missile base. That you would dial up. If you ever saw the movie War Games, it looked just like that. And you would it would start out, and it would dial numbers at random, and finally you'd get a hit. You'd get the splash screen for the Strategic Air Command. You would try a couple of passwords that would fail, and finally you'd get one that worked, and you got in. And it would take you through these different levels. And let me buy another nickel. And so I would progress through the different levels. You know, we're sitting there. This was probably, I don't know, 1:30, 2 in the morning. And we're sitting there, and he's fascinated. He really didn't know anything about computers. They were brand new, you know, at that time. And I'm saying, wow, this is really cool. And you know, we're going through these different screens, and it all looks official, or at least it looked official in a 1985 sense, you know. And finally we get into this one area that looks kind of ominous, you know. And it is a launch menu for missiles, and it is giving you information that the targets are preset, and they are just awaiting your command, and blah blah blah, and you know, a whole bunch of little parameters like that. They give you an option to put in a password, because you couldn't access that menu without the proper password. So I said, well, I'm going to try some things. And he says, and he's like freaking out. He says, you don't want to do that. You know, something could happen, you know. And I said, I don't think so. I don't think they're going to let you launch a missile without you know, proper confirmation. So I try these passwords, and you know, of course, they're not working. I said, let me try this last one, right? And then I think it gave you 5 attempts before it would, quotes, approve your password, you know. So I tried number 5, and of course it granted me access, and it of course initiated an automatic missile sequence launch, and an automated sequence missile launch is what I was trying to say. And Tom just completely freaked out. I mean, he's like totally freaked out. This guy is running down the street. He ran out the door. He's like, oh my God, we're going to die. He's running for his car. And it just completely went nuts. It took me about a half an hour to explain to him that it was just a program, that we didn't even dial out on the thing. But how he remained my friend for years after that, I have no idea. I didn't deserve that. But that's my story. I'm sticking to it. We'll go back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Yeah, I've had friends like that. Also, Gary, I don't know how they stayed my friend. Some of the things that I've done to them. I used to have a friend, Ted Trash, that he was like really, really, really allergic to poison ivy. And I used to chase him all over the place. Used to get a whole handful of it and chase him. I thought it was funny as heck listening to him scream. He was scared as hell. But, I just thought it was funny. And he was always my friend and still is. I never see him anymore, but we talk on Facebook and stuff. And I always bring that up to him. Yeah, I can imagine the fear in his voice and stuff, thinking that you just set off some missiles. That's for sure. You probably could have got me with that one, Gary. I was never really into computers till probably 8 or 9 years ago. Back in the 80s, I was more into outside stuff, and I probably would have fell for that gag. But anyway, thanks for coming back aboard, and thanks for sharing. We'll go ahead and break with you. And let me see, that's the end of this list, so I'll see if I can't make another list. This is WA1NXI in the South Cars Family Global Hour, and we're looking for some check-ins.
6 Victor, recheck.
Victor X-ray Papa, recheck.
Net recognizes KY6B with the recheck, and N1VXP, Rick, with the recheck. And we'll go ahead and we'll start out with 6 Victor. Welcome back, Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. KY6B here. Going back to your story of the alley and turning the car around, reminds me of a very similar problem, or situation, I should say, that my father pulled. You know, I've had the pleasure of meeting your father, and he was a jokester, too. He was chief engineer for KCBS out there in San Francisco, and the studios were located in the third floor of a popular hotel in downtown San Francisco, and they had this alley behind it where the engineers and what have you would park their cars. One of the engineers purchased a brand spanking new, polished, good-looking Volkswagen Beetle, and he had it parked down in this alley. And the other guys, including spearheaded by my father, decided they were going to do the same thing that you did, Mike. They got down there in Forest, picked this Volkswagen up, got it into the hotel, into the freight elevator, took it up to the third floor where the CBS studio was located, put it in the main corridor, swiveled it around so the bumper was facing one wall and the front bumper and the back bumper was facing the other wall, and walked away. I don't remember the story, Mike, on how this guy got his car back down on the street, but that reminded me of that. Let me buy a nickel for a moment. Another quick story, and this goes along with Gary. You know, I spent a lot of time with CBS, and CBS in the early days bought some computers for the engineering departments, and in comes this rolling Z80 with a green screen and says, here, see what you can do with this. And all of us sort of got around it, and we started punching the keyboard, and everything that we did, it keep coming back with syntax error. And we said, well, we got to figure out how to get around that. Well, within a couple of days, we had figured out how to get into the program. We found where the syntax error was being generated. We changed it to read, syntax error, kiss my blank, blank, blank. And that's the end of that story, Mike. KY6V, over.
I'd like to have been there to see his face when he seen his car inside the building, Gordon. That was even more of a situation for him than for whoever's car that was that we tipped sideways in the alley. At least he didn't have to get it back outside. He just had to get it pointed in the right direction. And, let me see, BXP, there it is. I knew I had another list, so I'm going to, or someone else on the list, I'm going to go ahead and break with you, Gordon, and pick up BXP and see what he's got. This is WA1NXI. Over to you, Rick.
This is N1TXP. I think we all got involved in like kind of car situation. I had a friend of mine who worked for a fire department, and chief of the fire department allowed his family to park on the parking area, and his daughter parked her, she had just bought a nice brand new Volkswagen Rabbit, and parked it right up near the door. So the guys got out right off the corner of the building, right on the sidewalk, actually right to the edge of the street. There was a space that was about the length of the car. It was a crosswalk light pole and another pole. The other pole was actually for a phone call box that they used to have, but they still left the pole portion up. But we got the car in between the two poles, and we end up just leaving it there. Next thing you know, police officer comes by, writes a ticket for the car being parked up on the sidewalk, not knowing who it was. So we thought, okay, no problem. The next morning, I'm out there walking by the area, and the car is still sitting there. However, the owner of the car is sitting there, standing there, waiting, and trying to figure out how to get the car out of there. So, let me drop for a second. So, eventually, the guys in the firehouse went out and said, okay, let's break up this little problem. So they literally picked up the front end, shifted over about an inch, did the same thing to the back, and they slid it out from between the two poles. You know, here this girl was going to end up calling the city to take down one of the poles to get her car out. And we found out afterwards that nobody wanted to do that. So it was up to her on how to get the car out of there. There was just no room to move forward or back at all. And it was just such a crazy thing. But she learned a lesson. From then on, she just decided, well, I'm not going to park my vehicle over here anymore because I don't know what's going to happen. So, you know, we thought that was great. She even said, I'm not going to park there anymore. Wouldn't you believe about a week later, she's back again. So we decided, I said, hey, why don't we just put the car sideways so that if she has to get in the car, she has to get in the passenger door and squeeze over to, putting the driver's side door right up against the building and see what she does on that. That worked out to be a bad one for her because she accidentally scraped the side of her car trying to move it. At that point, she decided, no, I'm not going to do any more. She actually quit the job that she was working at, and we hadn't seen her since then. But crazy things that we do. Let me drop one more second. Going back to my school years when I was in, actually I was in West Hartford, Connecticut. We had a neighbor, well, not a neighbor, but a local guy that was a plumber by trade. And part of his property was a fountain that he had built with the idea of having it lit up at night. And it looked really nice. Just happened to be Halloween night. Didn't really pay too much attention to it. But somebody came along and had some dry ice and threw it in the pool itself on the fountain. So with it spraying out the water, it was also having all this vapor coming off. And I saw that and I said, one of our favorite little tricks that we do, or we used to do all the time, was throw either laundry detergent or soap bubble bath in the fountain. And next thing you know, you have bubbles coming out all over the place. Well, I happened to walk by there very quietly. Had these, they looked like little marbles, but they were actually a bubble bath. I threw a bunch of them in there, and next thing you know, there are foam bubbles coming out all over the place. The guy finally shut off his fountain and shut off the light. But he was out there the next day trying to clean up the soap all over the place. But it was a favorite little thing that the neighborhood kids would do. And, we didn't think it was too much of a problem. But he made a little statement in the local newspaper the following week and said, he's taking his fountain down. No more fountain. No more fun for the kids. But it was fun. And NYZXP back tonight.
I've seen that trick before, Rick, when I was down in Florida in Orlando. I didn't do it, but somebody did that to the fountain down there on, I think it was International Boulevard or something like that. There was a big fountain with a fish or something. And me and Elaine were driving by, we noticed it was all bubbles and they were pouring over the side of it and stuff. And then we came back by later that night, and it was shut off, and there was somebody out there scraping the soap off the top and stuff. But yeah, I wasn't very nice to some of my neighbors when I was a kid. Some of the things we did, we thought it was funny, but Yeah, they didn't. One time, the guy across the street went on vacation. Him and his family went on vacation. I went over there and took his garden hose and stuck it into his dryer vent and turned it on, and it ran for a week or so while they were gone. And I thought that was pretty funny. And, you know, being a kid and everything, I wouldn't think it was so funny if it happened to me now in my basement. But yeah, wasn't a very nice kid. But anyway, I'll go ahead and break with you, and I don't see anyone else on my list here, so I'll go ahead and open it up for more check-ins. This is WA1MXI, looking for check-ins.
Victor Hotel.
RMO.
I'm Charlie Bravo.
Oh, very good. That recognizes Victor Hotel, RMO, and Lima Charlie Bravo. And I bet all you guys are glad you wasn't my neighbor. And we'll go ahead and start with Victor Hotel. And welcome aboard, Steve.
Well, good evening, Mike, and good evening to everyone. To tell this story, I first have to ask Kathy not to listen. K6SUN, just block your ears and hum for a few minutes. So I think some of you will remember I used to live up in South Bend, the Snow Belt area. And when there was a predicted snow, a fairly large snow, sometimes there was a particularly unloved teacher that lived sort of close by a group of students. And what might happen is that because the students wanted to do something nice for the unloved teacher, they would go over and shovel their sidewalk, shovel their driveway, which at face value sounds like it might be pretty good. The problem was all the snow was thrown on their vehicle. So when they came out, the sidewalk was clear, the driveway was clear, except for where the car was, and all the snow was stacked there for them. That's it from here. Everyone have a great evening. KF5VH.
I bet she wasn't happy when she came out and seen that. When I was a kid, Steve, and it snowed like that, we used to go down the street, and there was a pretty good corner, and we used to build a big wall right across the road, and wait for cars to come around the corner, and knowing they're not going to stop in time before they hit that big old snow wall. And then they'd be in the same predicament. They'd be buried in the snowbank. Had a lot of fun with snow back in the day. But anyway, thanks for coming aboard, and thanks for sharing. And I'll break with you, and we'll go to RMO and see what Gary's up to. So, welcome back aboard, KC2, RMO.
Many thanks to you, sir. And I'm going to have to make this actually my last check-in tonight, because I have a monster project going on in the back room, or lady lair, as my lovely wife likes to call it. We are improving the lair, and I have to get to finishing that, but I'll have this on to listen to. But I had a couple that I wanted to pass along for your edification. First of all, it is my experience that it takes six guys to lift a Volkswagen Beetle anywhere it needs to go. And I certainly know this because we managed to place one on somebody's front porch one Halloween, and it stayed there for a couple of days till they could figure out how to get that down. I don't know how they did it, but they did get it down. One of my favorite things, and it was just such a simple thing, was Gordon would certainly be familiar with this, was a high voltage probe that's used in transmitters. These are very big devices. They're I don't know. This particular one was maybe a foot long, and it was very thick. It was used for checking out the high voltage section of the transmitter. Let me just buy a nickel. Back in the late 70s here, there was a investigation into political corruption, which was headed by a state investigator whose name was Peter Andreoli. And for months and months and months and months, the lead story in the news was the progress of the Andreoli probe. Now, my newsman had a habit of running into the booth at the very last minute. So if you had a 3 o'clock newscast, he was in there at 2:59:30, and you could count on it. He was always there, you know, 30 seconds before. So we're coming up to news time. I introed the next hour. I hit the news sig. I hear Bob going into the booth, and what he saw was what I had put there a couple of minutes before, which was this high voltage probe with a big sign on it that says the Andreoli probe. He didn't know it was there, and of course he started with the lead story for the Andreoli probe, and he happened to look at the top of his audio board, and there's this giant probe, you know, and he starts cracking up, and he could not stop. It was like a minute and a half of just nonstop laughing. He couldn't stop, and the harder he tried to get straight, he couldn't do it. It was a really, really, really funny thing. Buy one more nickel, one more story. Hang on just a sec. One of the best stories that I can think of was not one that I was directly involved in, but I was a witness for. Can I get a witness? It was back in the factory. And we had a fella who was in machine repair. These were the guys that would, you know, fix the giant machinery in the factory, the presses and the thread rollers and the whole nine yards. Very, very talented people. Ralph had an artificial leg. So one day, when Ralph was getting changed at the end of the shift, somebody grabbed his leg. And in this particular building in the plant, they did paint, and they had these overhead conveyor belts with hooks on them that ran the entire length of the building up one floor and down another. So somebody grabbed his leg, stuck it on one of the hooks, and it made the rounds of the building. Well, it went down to the first floor. When the vice president of the company was talking to the foreman down there. And of course, you know, here comes Ralph's leg, just as pretty as you please, down the line, and past the vice president foreman, who just kind of looked at it in awe, and they couldn't even help cracking up. It was really funny. Meanwhile, Ralph's upstairs screaming, "Give me back my leg!" But it was fun. It was definitely fun. With that, I will leave it to the rest of the folks here. Don't forget to join us tomorrow morning for the Ask an Elmer. It's kind of like tool time for amateur radio. It's a lot of fun, and hope we'll see you there. This is KC2RMO going back to the net.
All right. Well, I hope you stick around and at least listen in here. That would be pretty funny. For you guys, it probably wasn't too funny for him trying to find his leg. Did he know where it was, or did you guys make him hunt it down just before you run off?
Oh no, it was a continuous loop, so it came back upstairs. And somebody grabbed it and gave it back to him, you know. But it took about, I don't know, maybe a good 10 minutes to make the rounds of the factory. And everybody kind of saw, you know, people were saluting it as it went by. it was a classic. It was absolutely a classic. So, there were crazy stuff like that. I think there was probably just as much crazy stuff that happened in that plant as happened on the radio station. But hard to say. But that was one of the best anyway. Back to you, Mike.
I'd like to see his face when he seen it on there. Well, I was talking about those carts that we used to push the scaffolding in. We had a guy that worked with us. We used to call him Crip, but he had one of those things that went on his leg. His leg was like really, really skinny. He had jaundice fever or something like that, yellow fever or something when he was a kid, and so his leg never grew, and he had a thing that went over it to make his legs the same and so he could walk and stuff. And he was pushing one of those carts one time, and they're pretty heavy. You got to really put your weight into them to push it. And he was walking by me, and I kind of like, forget who that was, that said they felt bad after they tripped somebody, the lady there. But yeah, I stuck my foot out, and I hooked his good leg with my foot, and all he had was that leg that he can't bend, and he was already leaning forward on that cart, and he couldn't stop himself. It was like slow motion falling down, and laughed, and I laughed. He didn't think that was that funny, but if you could have seen it, you probably would have laughed too, Gary. It was quite the show. And anyway, I'll go ahead and break with you, and now I lost my place on my list here. I don't think I had anybody out, so we'll open it up for general check-ins and or comments. Anybody wishing to get aboard or make a comment, please come now.
Hello, my Charlie Bravo.
Net recognizes Lima Charlie Bravo, and I think I forgot you on my list here, George. I've got VHRMO, LCB, and I apologize for that. So welcome back, George.
Well, I cut out short on me there, Mike. I didn't know if you threw it back to me or if you was going to pick up on the call. But I'll give an experience I had a while back, and you know me about now. I'll try anything once and twice if I like it. There, I was fooling around with old amplifier. I don't remember what it was. Old DNA of some kind there, and I had the cover off of it. And it also had a short cord, so I had it down in the floor and plugged up to the wall. And like I said, I had the cover off of it, and I think it had four LQ6s or maybe 6JE6s or something like that. Well, up on top, they all bridge together real pretty, you know. Everything was exposed there. And, the front, you know, the front of it was complete. It had the meters and all in there. And I reached over the top of that to get to a lug on the back to a tune there. And I laid my forearm over the top of them tubes, and I tell you what, the people around laughed, but I tell you what, when my jaw started closing, and I got that sensational vibration and everything was a quivering inside, I don't think I want to go that route again. So the moral of that story is leave them covers on when you plug that sucker up, because they will bite. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Yeah, it's always funny when it's somebody else, George, but dude, I've been lit up pretty good by a ballast, and I don't like that feeling at all. I think that's one of the worst feelings there is getting a good shock like that. I got it, like I said, from that ballast when I worked on a ride called the Skydiver. And we had this, well, it was the ride foreman, his name was Chicky, and he always used to go up and fix the ballasts and stuff, and I used to just sit on the bottom and sit there in the chair, and he'd say, okay, turn them on, and I'd turn the lights on, and he'd check it, and I never really paid attention to what he was doing, and I probably should have, because he quit one time, and so I became the ride foreman, and then it was my responsibility to fix the lights. So I went up, and before, I know Chicky used to test it before, and what he did is he wired it all together, a new ballast. He'd take the wires off the old ballast and put them on a new one, then he'd set it down in the little crotch of the metal thing, and then he'd tell me to turn it on. But I never paid much attention, like I said, and so I went up there and took the wires off the old ballast and put them on the new one and held it in my hand, and I yelled down to Bob, okay, turn them on, and he turned on that switch, and he lit me up too. Everybody got a good laugh out of that, except for me. I didn't enjoy that one bit, George, so I know the feeling. And I'll go ahead and break with you, George, and see if there's anybody else wishing to come aboard. This is WA1NXI, looking for check-ins.
Sierra United November.
Net recognizes S-U-N. Welcome back, Kathy.
Well, Mike, I've been enjoying it in the background, and I wanted to thank you for doing a wonderful net. But you haven't told us some of those interesting stories besides the last one. I can just imagine with that. But I've been listening and thinking of some of the comments people have been saying. And I've been looking at our, users list and seeing a lot of new stations connecting, and I hope that they're enjoying the session tonight and maybe join us for future sessions or maybe in the morning. But I want to make this comment out to Steve, KFIVH, about his comment about an unloved teacher. And all I got to say is I hope that my children love me. So that they won't do that same thing to me, but I don't have to worry about snow, but maybe it's something else. But I've enjoyed the comments this evening from each and every one of you, and I want to thank you for all being here and sharing in the fun we've had tonight. That's really all I wanted to say, Mike, except I hope people will join us in the morning for the Sunday morning ride, June 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gary, who's decided to go and work on his house this evening, is going to be the NCS, and he's going to talk about Ask an Elmer. So thank you, each and every one of you, for being here. Stay warm, stay safe, and hopefully we'll see you in the morning. So I'll turn it back to you, Mike, and want to know how your roof is going, by the way, whether you went up there and got some of those shingles off in the cold temps. So maybe you can share that with us, as well as status on that new puppy. So I'll turn it back to you, WA1NXI from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Oh, very good, Kathy. And, I don't think you have to worry about your students. They probably all think you're a great teacher. I know you probably take a lot of time to help them out. I know you take a lot of time writing the scripts and stuff like that for us, so I can just imagine what you do to help them along. And yeah, I did get all the ice off the roof finally. That we've had some really nice weather. Last week it was in the 40s, 2 or 3 days right in a row, so that made it peel off pretty easy, and I didn't lose any shingles. Tore the corner of a couple off. But I did, well, as a matter of fact, I just noticed it tonight when we had all that ice on there. It must have backed up under some of the shingles because I got a little yellow spot on the ceiling in here and in the living room. So now I'm going to have to, you have to get some sealer and you have to seal it before you paint it. Because if you don't, the yellow spot will just keep coming through the paint. So I didn't get it all off quite in time before it backed up. That's the only place I see. I went up in the attic and looked around, and I didn't see any drips or any wet insulation or anything up there. So that was good news. And the new puppy will be here in approximately 4 weeks, Kathy. We went and seen it. Me and Elaine took a trip over and went and seen him or seen her the other day, and what a crybaby. All she did was cry when we picked her up. And so I hope she doesn't do that when we bring her home. All I can think of is hearing that all night. I told Elaine, I'm going to come out on the couch and sleep, leave the puppy in there with you. And she said, oh, no, you're not. So we'll have to see how that goes. But looking forward to the new puppy, and still missing Jazz a whole lot. I think about her every day, and got her ashes here in a box, and I move them out here in the day and let her look out the window and bring her in there at night. And that's still kind of hard, and not trying to replace her with another puppy, just one of those people that like to have a pet around, I guess, but no one will ever take her place, that's for sure. And I think I just about covered everything, Kathy. I know I've done some crazy and some funny things in my life. Let me drop this here for a second. But I'm drawing a blank on a lot of it tonight. I'm not sure why. I guess my mind must be into listening to some of the things other people done, and then it brings back some of the memories of some things I've done, I guess. But anyway, I'll go ahead and break with you, Kathy. And well, before I do, I'll see if when I do close the net, if you could do the preamble or the closing of the net for me, because I didn't bring that up again. Second time I've done that. I'm going to have to start getting that ready before the net, I guess. Anyway, I'll go ahead and see if we got anybody else wanting to come aboard and comment or share some of the crazy or funny things that they've done over the years. This is WAE1NXI, looking for comments and or check-ins.
Why is it our recheck?
And VXP recheck.
Oh, very good. Recognizes YZR, Bernie, with a recheck, and VXP, Rick, with a recheck. So I'll take them in the order that I heard them. TC9YZR, welcome back aboard, Bernie.
Okay, Mike, WA1NXI, KC9YZR. Yeah, thanks very much for the nets. I enjoy these nets. Sometimes they're fun, enjoyable. Sometimes they're informative. And I'm thinking back of other nets, too, and different topics that you cover sometimes. I'm curious if they've, that one net that I had a while back, you spoke about bridges, and, of course, the other one with the technical advances. I'm wondering if you've ever had a net, if anyone of any of the nets have ever covered the topic of theaters, like drive-in theaters and walk-in theaters. I kind of maybe would like to hear something about that someday, because we had drive-in theaters around here, but they all disappeared. Of course, once they got the DVD movies especially, they all disappeared, got removed. Although the one to the south here, 14 miles, got removed because they put an interchange in there in interstate highway. In between two small communities, they put an interchange in there. But I think there'd be some great history behind that, because I remember that particular drive-in theater where while they were building that, putting the screen up, I don't know if it was the father or the son, they fell off and he ended up dying as they built the drive-in theater years ago. But anyway, I just was wondering if they had a topic of theaters ever done in a net somewhere. So thanks very much for the net, 7-3, and catch you later. And I was just going to say, I used to work at an electrical repair shop where my ex-stepfather ran, and his father before him ran. And he did something that was a little foolish. It wasn't really crazy. He would clean motors up by using naphtha, or what they call white gas, naphtha or white gas, which is kind of, you know, dangerous because it's flammable. And he forgot one time to discharge the capacitor, the round capacitor on top of the motor, and he always would discharge it. And one time he made the connection across there and made a spark, and it, my ID just went off on a 2-meter side, so I was doubling with myself, so to speak. Anyway, he caused a spark somehow while washing it off in this naphtha or white gas, and it caused a fire. He tried to close the lid, but then I told him you have to get the motor out of there first, the motor housing, you're washing it up, and he forgot to discharge that capacitor, that big round capacitor on top there. But anyway, I would sometimes paint the motor housings, and it just sort of reminded me of that when you were talking about a while back about painting that one guy was talking about painting that flagpole. We would paint some of these housings to make them look like new again, black paint or whatever, and so that the metal label wouldn't get painted over, we would lightly smear a thin coat of grease on it. So then after we got done, after the paint was dry, all we'd have to do is wipe it off with a rag. I just thought I'd throw that in there. It's what it reminded me of when that story about painting the flagpole came up, where you could remove the paint easily by just putting a thin coat of grease underneath it. 7-3, and let you go. WA1NXI, KC9YZX.
No, very good, Bernie. That's a pretty good story. He didn't, I get, like you said, it wasn't crazy, he just kind of neglected something and got a fire going there. And I've had a pretty good, well, it wasn't good, but I had an experience with fire burning once, and it was foolish too. I guess it was kind of crazy too. And kind of just unlucky, but one time I was getting rid of a big nest of ants out back, and I poured some gas on one nest and lit it up on fire, and then there was another one, wasn't real far away from the one that was already burning, and I started pouring some gas in that, and They must have been connected, because while I was pouring the gas in the second one, all of a sudden fire came shooting out of the ground and right up the stream, and I couldn't move the can fast enough, and gas can caught on fire, and I got gas all over me, and I caught on fire, and did the drop and roll and all that stuff. I was kind of lucky. I was right near my horseshoe pit, so there was lots of loose sand, but I got some pretty good burns out of that, and ended up in the hospital for a couple days, and had some of that new skin stuff that they got, so you don't need a skin graft anymore. They put that new skin on, and it heals. But anyway, yeah, that was a little foolish too. You have to be careful around that flammable stuff. That's for sure, Bernie. And I'll go ahead and break with you, and we'll see old BXP. We'll see what Rick's up to. Welcome back, Rick.
It's been 1 VXP. Yeah, I had the fun experience of working with a friend of mine, working on a roof, and here we were doing the old tar patching, and it was okay, but then we had to clean up. We made sure the tar was cooled off, but being up there in the sun, it really didn't get that cool, just much easier to handle. And I learned a real quick lesson. Do not pour kerosene. We're using the kerosene to clean off the tools, but don't put it on the tar, because it can ignite. The only problem is, being up in the sun on the tar, you can see the little bit of smoke haze coming off, but you don't see the flame. And we made the mistake of pouring a little bit on the tool, and it ignited, created a small little bit of a fire, and luckily I had an old canvas tarp that we were using to cover a part that wasn't being worked on, and I was able to put that over and put out the fire real quick, but it was a mess trying to pull it back off because the tar was all softened, and it made a mess on the roof, but we didn't think too much about doing that again. Got a little side note for, let me drop for a second. I got a little side note about the VOIP website. Steve, thanks for putting all those little links up. I noticed one that comes in real handy is the time bar across the top. It's kind of interesting to, not so much for my own time zone, but say to go to Moscow and seeing what time it is in Slav's area for those particular nets. That goes with any of the nets, seeing a different time zone. And comparing the time is really a nice idea. Another one I like is under net control, the preamble. I think before it was under a download, but now I see it's up there available for anybody to look at. And really easy to get to, and I thought, maybe one of these days I might look it over. I might. I'm not saying I will, but it may get me to maybe think of doing an NCS position. I have to really seriously think about it, but it's definitely one great little idea to help me make that decision. And 1VXP back to net control.
Oh, very good. I like the page too. It's pretty nice, that time at the top and in the picture there of the Olympic torch. I like that. I was just checking that out. I was gonna tell Kathy I did have time to bring up the preamble and stuff, so I can go ahead and take care of that. But I know she would have helped me out. So anyway, I got that under control. And geez, Rick, you ought to give that some serious thought. I think you'd make an awesome NCS. So go ahead and give us some thought, and I hope you decide to do it. I guess time will tell, but my vote is do it. I'll go ahead and break with you, and I guess I'll have to call for another list, because that's the bottom of this one. So this is WA1NXI in Global Family Hour, looking for some more check-ins and indoor comments.
Oh, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Matt recognizes Lima, Charlie Bravo, George, and I didn't hear no audio, Kathy, but I seen you key up for a second. Not sure if it was a accidental key up or if you was trying to get checked in, so I'll ask you after I pick up George. WA1NXI to KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo. Welcome back, George.
KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo. thank you, Mike. Been a fabulous net to a night to have enjoyed it there. And I wanted to, you know, Kathy mentioned earlier there was some new stations connected there. And, you know, offer everybody opportunity to check in, you know, tell it like it is. One big family here. Don't feel embarrassed. And that's the same thing, Rick. You know, there's a whole lot of information out there on NCS's there, and won't be surprised if I wasn't some podcasts, and there's people around there to take time with you, answer your questions, and get you all started in the right direction. And of course, you know, first time out, your butt's pretty tight together, you know, and you forget to write somebody down, but, you know, who gives a flip, you know? You're there to enjoy it, you know, don't worry about it, you'll enjoy it. With that, Mike, I'm going to have to scoot my friend there. I've been going since 3 a.m. yesterday morning, not this morning, but yesterday, burning time. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Very good, George, and thanks for coming back aboard. And, you know, say again to Rick, there you go. That's two votes to do it, Rick. And I guess I'll break it to George, and we'll see if we got anybody else that wants to come aboard and get on the log before we close the net. And like George says, if you're new and never checked in, or you're just hanging out, and even if you have checked in before, you're welcome to do it again. And don't be shy. Well, like he said, the more the merrier. So this is WA1NXI, and we're looking for check-ins.
6 Victor, recheck.
Net recognizes 6 Victor, and welcome back, Gordon. WA1NXI, that KY6B.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. KY6B here. I just wanted to say I've been sitting back and enjoying this net so much that maybe a lot of us, I know I could tell 50 more stories, and I know you could tell 150 more stories. Maybe we should do this again down the pike a little bit. Give it a month or two and reincarnate revision 2 of this particular session. I received an email from Kathy just moments ago that she is having trouble with connectivity with Echolink. So either you, Mike, can go ahead and close it out, or I will do it for you. KY6V, over.
All right, Gordon. Yeah, I can do it. I did have time to get that page up in between check-ins and stuff, so I can handle that with no problem. Yeah, I noticed Kathy was off and on there one time. Hope she gets that taken care of so she can stay connected and listen in. But I know that feeling. I had that problem. I think it was last weekend. I kept. Well, it was my whole internet, not just Echolink. I kept on and off, and it gets pretty aggravating. I know that for sure. And I don't know if Kathy was connected or not when Bernie was talking earlier, but he mentioned a net about old movie theaters and drive-in theaters and stuff. And yeah, I thought that was a pretty good idea too, because we actually still have a drive-in here in Skowhegan. It's like the next town over, so I don't know if you heard that or not, but it's an idea anyway. So I'll go ahead and break with you and see if anybody else wants to come aboard before we wrap it up here tonight. This is WA1NXI looking for some check-ins and or any comments on anything that's been said.
Okay. Six Victor, a comment on yours, sir?
Go ahead, Gordon.
I just wanted to say, Mike, that I think that Bernie's comment is a good one. And I've made a note here. I'm sure Kathy, if she was online at that point, made a note also. We can build that into a great program. You need to know that this rascal, LCB, down there in Orange City, at one point in his life was a projectionist, I guess that's the title, in movie theaters down in our neck of the woods. So if we get him mixed up into that, we could have a heck of a program. Go ahead, Mike, KY6V, over.
Well, there you go. He'd fit right in on that net for sure. Yeah. So I'm looking here to see if Bernie was still connected, and I see he is, so I'll take a minute and say thanks for that suggestion, Bernie. And I see in the text box that Kathy is back, and she said she heard that suggestion, and she'll be thinking of that for the month of March, Bernie. So there you go. And I'll go ahead and see if we get anybody else with any comments or anybody that wants to get on board. WA1NXI, we're looking for check-ins.
Why is it R? Recheck.
Net recognizes KC9YZR. Welcome back aboard, Bernie.
Yep, thanks a lot. And I thought it would be sort of interesting because I knew some stories about trying to build those drive-in theaters especially. And actually there's a local city down here 14 miles to the south that used to have a pretty good theater, walk-in theater, and it just burned down last year. I don't know if they're going to replace it or not. And they also had a drive-in theater, but like I say, they removed the drive-in theater to make room for the interchange, the Highway 29, Highway 13 interchange there between Abbotsford, Wisconsin, and Colby, Wisconsin, there, two smaller communities. And, of course, Highway 29 is interstate now, four-lane highway, but it used to be a two-lane highway years ago in the 70s. But I used to go to the drive-in down there, and there was one to the west, over about 80 or 90 miles to the west. And I think they did the same thing, removed the drive-in theater to put the interchange in for the highways there. So, there was stories about how people got injured and even killed just trying to put up the screen. and of course, the popularity kind of dropped once they were able to get DVDs, movies at home and stuff. But I used to be in the AV club in high school myself, the audiovisual club in high school. And sometimes during class, they'd ask me to run the projector. And once in a while, I'd jump a little bit, and there's this little metal handle or tab that you just tap down on it, and usually that corrected the problem. If it didn't, if it still jumped, I had to stop the film, and then I had to put a little loop on the bottom there, put a little bit more slack in it, and then it would run fine. So I was into the projectionist a little bit myself, in high school anyway. 7-3, and catch you later. WA1NXI, KC9YZR.
No, very good, Bernie. Yeah, that'll be a good, interesting net. Lots to talk about, from projectors to the movie screens and all the old drive-ins. When I was younger, and drive-ins were pretty popular, I used to have a whole collection of those little speakers that you hang on the window there. Every time I went to the drive-in, I used to get a new speaker. I think that's probably why they started going to where you tune your radio into into a certain station to listen. I bet you they lost a lot of them speakers over the years. I know I had my fair share of them. So there you go, Bernie, but that was a good suggestion, and I think, what did I say, Kathy said in March, she was thinking about putting that on there, so I hope you watch the schedule and come aboard for that one. And I'll go ahead and break with you, and we'll see if anybody else has any comments or wants to just get on the logbook before we wrap it up. This is WA1NXI, the South Cars Global Family Hour, looking for check-ins. All right, well, not hearing anybody wanting to get checked in, and getting a little bit late anyway, so I'll go ahead and close the net, and just want to say thanks, everybody, for being here, and I enjoyed the net, and I hope everyone else did, too. It's always good to join in on these nets. You just feel like you're having a conversation with old friends. So this has been the Southcast, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VOIP net schedules and general information may be found on the VOIP.southcast.com website. Your net control for this session has been WA1NXI, and my backup was K6SUN, and thank you for that, Kathy. I'll say 73 to everybody, and bring the net to a close, and thank everybody for their participation. Net's closed.